Last week I began talking with you out of Psalms 119 about walking the path that God would have us to walk as faithful people to God. And this morning I want to continue with that same psalm. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 119. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of God's words. We'll begin reading in verse number 33. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again for mercy and grace upon us. I thank you for your words to teach us, Lord, and to strengthen us and to guide us in life that is so full of obstacles. And I pray, Father, today, be with us and strengthen us. To your glory we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So the question is this. You know, when we look at our life and we try to determine how we are going to live our life, I don't know, sometimes we may just wake up and take one step after the other without any consideration at all for what we're doing, or what the impact might be on others as well as ourselves. Sometimes we may just get up and run without looking for any obstacle at all and just trip and fall and make a mess of our elbows and our knees and our hearts sometimes. But what we're asking here, when we look at this psalm and we look at the things that are to be within us, first and foremost, God's guidance in life. When we wake up every morning, we should ask ourselves this question: who will I be today? Who will I be? Will it be the person that God wants me to be, or will it be the person that I think that I just ought to be? Because there's a difference. And in this psalm last week, we looked at the first few verses of this, and what we see is the psalmist is telling us that we are asking God to direct our path, to lead us in His ways. Now, the psalmist didn't say, show me your ways and I'll compare them with mine and I'll figure out what's a good balance between the two. In fact, he says, I will follow your ways with fear, because I dread your judgments. So we need to ask ourselves, when we ask God to lead us, are we being serious about it? Are we being truthful with ourselves? Because let me share with you these words that are found just above those passages that we read. The psalmist says in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. And I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. When I set the truth before me, and the truth is God's words, and what is life and what it should be about, how we should honor Him as He has honored us, and how we should love one another. If I am following truthfully the ways that God teaches, my heart's going to grow. It's going to enlarge in love, because that's what God is teaching us. He's not teaching us retribution or revenge. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Amen? Except when it's me. Of course not. Not even for me. It's God's. And my place is to do what God teaches me. And if I'm asking God to lead me in His ways, then the first things I want to remind you we looked at were these. Was to teach your statutes, your precepts, your laws, the things that I should have in my life. And not only that, but when I'm beginning to have these things pour into my life, give me understanding. I don't want to just be able to tell you what the Ten Commandments are. I want to be able to understand how they impact my life. What does it mean to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all of my mind, with all of my being? What does it mean to love my neighbor as I love myself? Give me understanding. And in verse 35, He said, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Lord, don't give me the option. Make me. And the commandments are Jesus tested, by the way. I told you that last week. Lord, what's the greatest commandment of all? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Oh, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's where we begin. Asking God to lead us in His ways. These are ways that are contrary to us in the flesh. You know that? If I'm going to live by my flesh, there are a lot of these things I might do with some people, and a lot of them I won't even think about with others. God didn't tell us we have a choice in that matter. So if I'm going to truthfully ask God to lead me in His ways, I've got to consider these things. I've got to understand these things. And I've got to apply those things to my life. And it's not just those things. It's these other things. In verse 37, He says, turn away my eyes from worthless things. Worthless things. I don't know what's worthless to you. I have an understanding what worthless means to me, but I don't know what worthless means to you. But I can tell you this, all of us understand what value is, don't we? We understand what that term value means. We understand what it means to have a pocket full of gold, don't we? No, we don't. But we understand what it could mean, don't we? Certainly we do. But how many of us stop and think about the impact a pocket of gold in one's life could be? And chasing after worthless things. I think about the old Western movies. You know, I'm old enough to have seen Westerns, right? Y'all old enough to have seen Westerns too, haven't you? Gold miners. And you see them, they get so wrapped up in gold fever. That's all they want. I got to get my gold. They put their own lives in danger. They go into cracks and crevices where they don't have any purpose for being except to get gold and to put their life in danger. There's no real reason to go in there except I got to have it. And how many times did they lose their life? Because caves and mines have crashed in. How many of them lost friends and family because the worthless thing that was driving them was not so important to their family or their friends, and they had to leave them behind? They had to make them enemies in life. I was watching Gunsmoke the other day. Y'all seen Gunsmoke, haven't you? Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Gunsmoke. Old gold miner making Festus carry his gold through the desert. They didn't have any water or anything. And they get to the point where the water really runs out. And Festus is able to get the gun away from the old gun miner and turn the tables on him and marches him to a town. But he helped him carry his gold anyway because the old miner had to have his gold. Had to have it. And they finally get to the edge of the town, and Festus is looking at town. It's a ghost town. There's nobody there. Everybody's dead. But the old miner, he sees people in the streets. You know, he's that far into dehydration and losing his mind. And he's running around. He runs into the saloon. I'm buying for everybody. Where's the proprietor? He's looking for the proprietor because he became an enemy with him. Over who knows what. I don't know. I didn't see the beginning of all of that. But he had made it a point to get rich on gold and to come back to the town and put it in his face. And nobody was there. And he starts running through the town looking for the guy, and he found his grave. The man that was his friend, who became his enemy, had died 20 years earlier. And he came back with his gold. He says, "You can't be dead." Ah! He had what he wanted in life, and he couldn't do anything with it, and it didn't make a difference in his life except pain and suffering, loss of friendship, and he died right there, pouring his gold out on the ground, bragging about what he had, and he died right there. Lord, keep me from looking at worthless things and setting them as the objects of my desire, because they can take me too far. I can lose too much. I can dishonor you. So when I'm asking God to lead me, am I setting the things that God has given me to look at before me? Or am I setting the things of the world before me? Because listen to what the Proverbs say. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 says this, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven." You get your eyes on it and it's gone before you can ever get it or do anything with it. Spend your whole life trying to get there, and then what have you done? What have you accomplished? I saw a thing this week. It said, you know, when you're living life, as you get older, you start to remember, you start to realize these things. You can't teach young people this. They have to learn when they get old, right? Don't make your life about achieving or having, because you lose too much in between to get to that point. And finally, when you get to the place where you have these things, are you able to even enjoy it? Don't put your eyes on worthless things. Set your eyes on God. God, lead me in this day, every day. And don't worry about tomorrow, by the way. I mean, go ahead and make your plans. I'm going to the grocery store on Friday. I'm going on vacation next week. Go ahead and make your plans. But know that God's in control. And if you aren't settled today with God, it doesn't matter what tomorrow has on your calendar, because it's gone if God calls you home today. Don't put your eyes on worthless things. Don't make them your priorities. I have chosen the way of truth, and your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. God's telling us his wisdom is worth more than rubies and gold and pearls and whatever else the world has to offer. His words. And the psalmist even continues. He says in verse 38, "Establish your word to your servant. Give me the strength and the courage to walk in the ways that you teach me." Give me the strength and the courage to walk in the ways that you teach me, so that the world can see that I am in you and you are in me. How many of you know following God's word is hard, isn't it? And establishing God's truth in us before the world and our family and before all, even before God, is not an easy task. But I want to ask you a question today. What's the hardest thing for us to do as Christians? as believers in Christ, what's the hardest thing for us to do when it comes to obeying God's word? I don't know what you might think is the hardest thing to do. Would it be one of these two things, to love or to forgive? Because to me, that's two of the hardest things that God has asked us to do. And may I tell you this? You can't forgive if you can't love. And if you can't love the way God is calling you to love, you aren't really being honest with yourself about your relationship with God. To love or to forgive? What I think about when I talk about forgiveness, because sometimes we structure what forgiveness should look like. Well, if somebody tells me that they offended me and asking forgiveness, that's fine, but I don't believe them. Why? What is your structure of forgiveness? What does it look like? Do they have to fall on their knees and weep in tears so there's a 5-gallon bucket full of tears right before you? What is your moral line? Because I want to tell you something. God is the one who draws moral lines, not us. We're not the ones to set the structure on what forgiveness looks like. God is. You want to know what God says forgiveness looks like? The disciples asked that question. If my brother comes to me 7 times a day and asks for forgiveness, do I have to do it 7 times a day? And Jesus said, and all his people know, Jesus said, oh no, not 7 times. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. I want to point out something to you. You might not have thought about it like this. If you have structure in your life about what forgiveness needs to look like when somebody offers forgiveness to you, Jesus just said there is no structure. Because if somebody's going to come back to you possibly 70 times 7 times in one day, you ought to know they probably didn't mean it the first time, or the second time, or the third time. But Jesus didn't say you're basing whether you accept their forgiveness on a structure that they give. You're just accepting their apology and letting it go. Have y'all ever thought about it like that? I mean, why should somebody have to apologize 70 times 7 times in one day? Because they didn't meet the structure you had? Or because that's just who they are and they hard-headed people. You ever been hard-headed in life? I was told when I was a kid I was hard-headed. Can y'all believe that? I look back at my life, I still ain't found a time I was hard-headed. But I can tell you there are times in life when all of us are hard-headed. But when we're going to follow, because our hearts are enlarged with God's words in love, when we're going to follow His words, loving or forgiving, we got to do it the way God tells us. And to do it any other way is to replace God with our own law and our own statutes and our own precepts. And we are not walking in truth. We're not. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy to forgive somebody 70 times 7 times. I'm telling you it's going to be hard. It is hard. Let's don't cover it up. Let's don't whitewash it. Let's don't pretend like it's not. It's hard. But do you love the way God is telling you to love? Because I guarantee you every one of us in here has offended God even after we professed Him as Lord and Savior. But every time I have turned back, I have found Him willing to lift me up and to dust me off and to put His arm around me again and say, Joel, you're hard-headed. But are you ready to go this time? Let's move. Okay, this is over. Let's move. Who will we be? Isn't that the question? Who will we be? I want God to be in my life. I want God to shine through me. I want people to see me. I want people to know that I love God. And even when it hurts, I still love God. And I want to honor Him and do the things that He says, even when it hurts the most, whether it's forgiveness or love. I remember these words because Paul says in Ephesians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Is there anyone in here that's never had to have forgiveness? If we can't learn to love and forgive, we'll never be God's people the way He wants us to be. And we will never have our reproach turned away from us in the eyes of God. You see what he says next? Turn away my reproach. No longer let me live a life that is a disappointment to you. God, I don't want to live a life that's a disappointment to you. Turn away my reproach. You want to know what prompts God to turn away reproach? Your love for Him and your willingness to seek forgiveness. You want to know what really removes reproach from your life? Your ability to love your neighbor and your ability to forgive them when it's needed. Because we're living a life that is a complete circle in Christ. God forgave us and His Son, and we forgive as the Son has taught us. By loving one another, even as He has loved us, so we should love one another. And by this they will know that you are my disciples. That we can love and that we can forgive. The psalmist says in verse 11 of 119, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And isn't that what it all boils down to? That I might not sin against God. Against God. Turn away my reproach. That means I'm using that understanding that He is giving me and I'm applying it to my life without blinders. Y'all know what blinders do, right? Keep you focused on this little way here when you really need to see everything that's going on, including yourself, spiritually. And then we can let that word that is hidden within our heart teach us and strengthen us through whatever it is God's telling us to do, to be, to say. Because this is what we're in this for, y'all. How many of y'all think I'm in this for me? I'm not in this for me. I'm in this because what's for me is already sealed in Christ. I'm in this for you. I'm not here for me. I could go off and be happy all day long. Just me and God walking through the mountains. Might have a fly rod in my hand out in the stream. Thank you, Lord, for that big old fish. No, He said, I want you to be a fisher of men. So I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I'm here for us together as a family so that we can be strong together, so that we can be strong one for each other, and so that we can honor Christ as He honors us. As He honored His disciples, even by washing their feet. Revive me in your righteousness. in your righteousness, God. I want you to revive me in your righteousness. I don't know if you see it this way or not, but let me say this. If I place my righteousness in there, I'm tarnished. It's got to be His righteousness. It can't be mine. It can't be who I think I am. It can't be who I think the world should treat me like. It doesn't matter anything other than God's righteousness in my life. God takes care of me, just like He takes care of all the others. I just have to walk in His ways and be as He has taught, and to love as He has taught, and to forgive as He has taught, and to share the testimony. Because I rejoice in the testimonies of God, I share the testimonies of my own salvation. I listen to the testimonies of others who have come to Christ and found life and hope and joy, and who see others that still need it, the same as I see them that still need it. And we don't stop, because God hasn't given us the word to stop. And until we hear the trumpet sound, we shouldn't stop being who God wants us to be. Revive me in your righteousness. I'm asking Him to restore that which was lost, which was dead and buried by sin, in me and in all of us. I'm asking Him to restore to me life and consciousness and strength. Life so that I can live for Him. Consciousness of who I am. Really, who I am. Versus who I should be. And strength. Strength and courage to face myself, just as I would have the strength and courage to face another. The hardest thing in this world is facing ourselves, isn't it? How many of you have ever had an opportunity to stand up before somebody else and always had the strength and the courage to do it? But what happens when we face ourselves? We recognize the enemy in the mirror and we think that they're stronger than the one that is in us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And yet the world always gets us in a headlock. You see, we have two paths to choose. The high road and the low road. Y'all know what that means, don't you? The high road and the low road. The hardest path or the easiest path. That's what this psalmist is asking God to take away, one of those choices. You know which one it is, right? The low road. God, take the low road out of my life. I don't even want that to be a choice. I know life will be hard. And what we have seen today, we're asking Him to turn our eyes away from worthless things so that we're not chasing things that are destroying relationships and even our own lives. We've asked Him to establish His word in us to His servant. His servant. We've asked Him to teach us how to love and to forgive and to be kind and tenderhearted, just as Christ is to us. And we've asked Him to turn away our reproach, because we are living like we've already asked Him to teach us through His righteousness. We have two paths to choose, the high road and the low road. And here's how you make your choice. You listen to His word. Psalms 119:105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path." And in Psalms 25, "Lord, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day, every day. These last 2 weeks, I'm trying to help us to see and to focus on the things we need in our life to walk a Christian life, a faithful believer in Christ life. It's not by recognizing the sins in others' lives. It's recognizing the sin in our own and fixing that, shoring that up, blocking it out so that others can see we are changed and that our heart is swelling with love, Christ-like love. And then they can call us different. Man, they sure are different. Oh, thank you. I didn't used to think that when I was a kid. You're different. But when I think about being different because of Christ, I'm thankful for that. And I hope people see it. And I hope people talk it. That guy's different. That person's different. You don't want to go around them. Oh, I'm chasing you now. Because I'm different that way. You see what I did there? Christ told me to go and tell, right? He didn't say that I should run from the gates of hell. He said the gates of hell will never stand against the kingdom of God and the gospel. So it's the gospel that's advancing, not the gates of hell. And when we get to that gate, we just kick it down, step on over, push it out of the way. Grab them by the ear. Yank them on out of there. If they go back, we have to go back, knock the gate down, grab them by the ear again. You know what life is about, don't you? You know what serving God is about, don't you? You know it begins by admitting that you're a sinner and finding forgiveness in Christ, don't you? You know, it doesn't stop in just that moment. It keeps going every day. Seeking Christ, forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Giving or receiving where giving or receiving is needed. Loving always, whether it's earned or not. Always. Then I will be revived in His righteousness. Then I can find peace and joy in Him in all things. And I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus because you've been forgiven and you've been loved and you're growing in the ways that you should grow, that He has taught us? Are you asking Him to apply these things to your life? If you know Him as Lord and Savior and you don't have these things applied, I'm asking you to seek these things. God's telling us these are the things to seek and to have imparted within us from Him. Find it. Hold on to it and never let it go. God's got you. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm asking you today to find that peace and to find that forgiveness and to find that joy that is eternal in Christ. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you have taught us again. Lord, that you have shown us again. And I pray that our ears have heard and our hearts have received. I pray, Father, you are glorified. I pray, Father, that we find our peace with you. And I pray, Father, that those who are lost will find their peace with you and the celebration of life. I pray we can have it together and that we will honor you in everything we do and say. I ask it to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come? The altar is open.